Let's go ahead and get started. So if you would, turn with me to Acts 7. Acts 7. Acts 7, and I want to read verses 48 through 53. Acts 7, verse 48. Howbeit, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet. Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels, and have not kept it. Stiff-necked. There's some mornings, and I'm sure this has probably happened to you all. I've woke up and, you know, my neck was sore and I couldn't turn this way or that way. But this stiff-necked is not talking about sleeping the wrong way and waking up with your neck hurting. This stiff-necked is kind of like the following, and I'll give this analogy. I mean, everyone knows here that Paul and I have a Bernese Mountain Dog named Louie. And if you don't, we have a Bernese Mountain Dog named Louie. So, but every morning we get up, we put a collar on Louie. And in order to get this collar on him, you know, it's easier if he bends his head down so you can get it on. Some mornings this happens pretty easy, and he puts his head down. But in other times, and in fact most times, he wants to play, so you have to push his head down. And he'll rear it up when you try to do that, resisting my pushing his head down to get the collar on his neck. Why does he do this? To be mean to me? Not necessarily. Although there may be times he does not want it on, he simply does this because that's what he wants to do. It is in his nature to do so. Most of the time he does it because he wants to play, but he does it because he wants to do it. I have to do something to change his want to in order to get him to do it. How does this relate to man? We will do what we want to, no matter what the Spirit of God does. By nature, that is. As we are born in Adam, we will rear our head backward thinking we are doing something for God, but we are just fighting against Him. If we are fighting against Him, it is because He allows us to do this, because if He does not want us to fight against Him, we won't. That is, whether you know God or not, or whether you love God or not, God is in absolute control. You will do of His good pleasure. There are those who in his good time will not be uncircumcised in heart and ears. Because of this, they will no longer resist the Holy Ghost. So let's look at uncircumcised in heart and ears and circumcised in heart and ears. So let's first look at the result of this resistance. Those who are resisting will certainly not in this way. They will not see it in this way, but it is the result. They will persecute those who proclaim the truth. Our current passage is evidence of this. The truth being taught, being Jesus Christ and Him crucified, as God has revealed Him in His Word. They, or we, murder the Lord in our mind and in our thoughts in this flesh. I know it. This is true of those, as it says here, that are uncircumcised in heart and ears, because I did this at one time. I was just like these, and just like Saul before he became Paul the Apostle. I persecuted the church of God and wasted it in my mind. I wanted to shut them up who were saying these things. These are they who have heard the gospel, just like they did here in our passage. What does it say in verse 52 and 53? Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. Here it is saying, these prophets spoke of Jesus Christ. He is the only just one. It says they received it, and certainly they heard it in their physical ears. The phrase used here says, by the disposition of angels, and you can read it this way, by the instrumentality of messengers. They heard it, that is, they received it, by those God sent them to proclaim this message, but when you look at it, this says they did not keep it. That is, they did not guard this gospel when they heard of the just one. They did not guard it, they did not watch for it, and they did not hold it close. What does it say they did? They betrayed him and murdered him. We have all done this in our flesh. We at one time were the very same way. Our flesh is still the same way. We have to say with the Apostle Paul, in this flesh there dwelleth no good thing. Those who are like this will not hear the gospel. They stiffen up their neck and say, I will not have this man reign over me.
Yes.
Today they may not say that specific phrase, at least not out loud, but they will say things like this, God has done all he can do, now it's up to you. They don't always get mad, Joe. It's not always the reaction you get. Stiff-necked. God says he does not need your help, and he says he finished all there was to be done. They will not bow down to the God of Scripture. They have too much input for God. They need to give their part to him. They will go to hell doing something for Jesus, because their Jesus is really themselves. But they will go to hell doing that for their imagined God. They will not bow down to the God, that is the Jesus Christ of Scripture. He will say to them one day, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you.
Amen.
They will not bow down to the just one. And we see this with the account of rich man and Lazarus. So if you would, turn with me to Luke 16. Luke 16. Very familiar to you. Luke 16, 27 through 31. Luke 16, 27. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. And this is the rich man speaking. For I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them.
Amen.
And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead.
Amen.
This rich man in hell even testified to the fact that no one will listen to Moses and the prophets. They will not listen to the proclamation of the gospel, which is the instrumentality God uses in the hand of messengers. We today do just as Stephen was doing, and we proclaim his gospel. The vast majority of those hearing are stiff-necked, and stiff-necked only, I want to add, because all of us were stiff-necked at one time.
Yes, sir.
They will not hear his gospel even if someone were raised from the dead to tell them. What are we told in Luke? They will not hear even if someone were raised from the dead to tell them. In fact, one has risen from the dead. All God says we are to do is to believe him.
Yeah.
We are to believe him as to who he is and who and what he has done.
Yes.
But we cannot do that, even though all know Jesus Christ rose from the grave.
Yes.
But yet they will not bow down to God, to who God is. As has been said before, no one saw Jesus in Jesus. How are they going to see Jesus in me?
Exactly.
The answer is they won't, unless they are circumcised in heart and ears.
Amen.
We read of circumcision in the Old Testament, but I want to point out a passage that we've heard here before. But before I do, let me say, there was that circumcision done by man using his hands and whatever implements they used at that time on an individual. Generally, this was done on young males 8 days old. This was appointed by God to do, and in fact, there is an account in Scripture where Moses did not circumcise his son, and God was about to kill him when his wife took a stone and circumcised their son. This was under the law, and we are no longer under the law by the death of Christ. We have been freed from the law, so there is no need for circumcision. But I have to add this qualification for God's people. But now hear this verse in Deuteronomy, which we have heard before. Deuteronomy 10:16. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and be no more stiff-necked.
Amen.
What causes us to be stiff-necked is having a heart that is not circumcised.
Exactly.
How are we going to perform that? Do we even know where the foreskin of our heart is? We know this is not talking about the muscle that pumps blood, but that place of thoughts and feelings we have. We know the heart we are born with is called a stony heart in Ezekiel. A stony heart, that kind of heart that is dead. It is a heart hardened with no ability to be any other way. It is so stony that the one who possesses this kind of heart is always stiff-necked. It says there in that verse in Deuteronomy, circumcise the foreskin of your heart and be no more stiff-necked.
Yes.
So how do we do this? The answer is, we don't.
That's right.
We can't.
You're right.
We do not know how, and even if we did, we do not have the ability to perform such an act. Someone else has to perform the circumcision for us,
Amen.
To us, and on us. Turn with me now to Colossians 2. Colossians 2. Colossians 2 and verses 9 through 15. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ.
Amen.
Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. The act of Jesus Christ, that transaction done by him in being made sin for us and dying, paying that debt, cleansing me by his act of obedience and mercy towards me. It is by this power and by this one that we are circumcised in heart and ear. He is the firstborn among many brethren, it says in Scripture. He must and does cleanse us from all sin. He in time will come to us just as he did with Cornelius, circumcising us with his voice, bringing us to life in his Son. God will in time perform that circumcision not made with hands. He does this by the power of his voice. He will impart to those he has chosen at that very appointed time he is pleased to do so. He will impart to them a circumcised heart. When he does this, they will bow down the neck before him, so to speak. This circumcision giving them eyes to see, and ears to hear, and a heart to perceive. Him placing his yoke on them, which is easy, and his burden light. Matthew 11:28-30 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." It is easy and light because we are willing in the day of his power. We will bow down our head to get that collar put on our neck.
Yes, sir.
Most of the time when I'm forced into doing something, I'm not desirous to do what I'm being made to do. I despise it. He causes us, and yes, this is something he forces us to do. Because if he did not do this, we would not do it on our own. But he does this in such a way that we are willing. He does it in love, Joe, in that everlasting love, that loving kindness. He woos us in, causing us to love him. And in what he does, we then become willing. We then desire to serve him.
Yes.
He changes our want to, as it's been said. It is no longer a burden to serve him. We then stop bending our head back, being stiff-necked, but bow it down before him at his feet, just as the sinner woman did in Luke 7:38, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. Once our proud, stiff-necked heart is taken away, and he gives us a heart which is fleshly, that is, it is a living heart to which we then love and desire to worship him, hearing the gospel is no longer a chore for us to hear, but we come willingly to worship him at his feet. The whole human race born of Adam is born stiff-necked.
Yes.
What we all do is the only things we can do, because it's the only thing a stiff-necked person can do, because it comes natural to them.
Exactly.
We do always resist the Holy Ghost.
That's it.
This stiff neck hates the God of Scripture, his gospel, and his people. If God does not intervene, we will gnash on those who send us, he sends us with the gospel. They may not stone people to death nowadays, at least not in this country, but they still do this in their stony heart.
Yeah.
They will stop their ears and do what they can to quiet those who proclaim the gospel. The only hope any of us have is if Jesus Christ, being the firstborn among many brethren, died for us, and in him, us being circumcised with that circumcision made without hands by that transaction he performed, but he then comes to us in his spirit and performs that circumcision, cleansing us, making us willing in the day of his power. This Christ, the one we at one time were raising our necks backward towards, causes us now to bow it down into submission to him, the just one. We then love to hear him. We love to gather with those who speak of him. For Saul, or the Apostle Paul, that time God appointed for him was during this time when they were laying their coats at his feet, the passage in Acts there that we read. This signified that he consented unto his death, that is, the death of Stephen. This one who was persecuting the church of God and wasting it had to have this circumcision done. And so do we. There was that time when Paul started to be pricked in his heart by those pricks or goads of God. God put him in the dirt, as he will with all those who are his. It says in Acts 9:1, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. And then you have the account where Paul was knocked to the ground. It talks about him traveling to Damascus, where he was knocked to the ground by God. There will come a time for some when they cannot fight against those goads sent by God in that heart of flesh, which has been circumcised by God. If God does not do this, you will never know the pricks because of that old stony heart. If you will not bow down to God, and I mean the sovereign, almighty God of Scripture, the one who has done it all for the salvation of sinners, the just one, if you do not bow down to this God, you are yet stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. You will do nothing but resist the Holy Ghost. It is not in what you do or will do. It is all in what He has done and does.
Yes.
If He circumcised you, you will then bow down to Him. May God circumcise our heart. If you are one of His, He will.
Yes.
When He's pleased to do so. I pray He bows me down to Him continually. Amen.